You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here is your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
Well, good Monday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek in Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Norman, Oklahoma. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for Monday, June 15th, episode 3973, brought to you today by Worm Flooring. Good morning, horse people.
Well, good morning, everybody. Today, we're going to start with the screwworm report, and there is some good news to be had.
Oh, thank God.
Plus, we meet a listener whose grandparents had skunks in the house, and they used to play dress-up, so we're going to talk about that. They have a goat living there now, so I don't know which. We'll find out which is better or worse. Plus, some things you didn't know about the Royal Canadian Mounted Police in our history segment, and the dumb things our listeners' horses have done recently. So we're going to do that. And then in the post show, I don't know what we're doing in the post show.
We'll figure it out. It'll come to us.
Yes, it will come to us. Well, before we get started with the Daily Screwworm Report, remember that our 4,000th episode, I typed that wrong. I put 40,000. That will be 150 by then.
I noticed that. I was like, you are optimistic.
Our 4,000th episode will be on July the 19th at 8 p.m. I'll put a link to the Facebook event in the show notes if you want to post or if you want to say that you're going. It'll give you a reminder then so you don't forget. Plus, I have an exciting announcement. Jean Abernathy, who does Fergus, the drawings of Fergus and all the books and everything, she'll be joining us for the entire show, and she's going to be doing a drawing of you and I and Fergus live. So during the show, she's going to be doing a drawing, and at the end, we'll be able to show the drawing. But one advantage to doing it on video is, and she's very excited. I connected with her the other day, and she's going to come on and do that. So that'll be fun.
Cool.
Screwworm report. We decided we're going to do these at the beginning of the show, get it over with, and then on with the rest of the show. As of today, which is Monday the 15th, we have 11 cases in Texas. 9 of them were cows and 2 are goats. And then we still have just the one case outside of Texas in New Mexico of a dog. I did read that dog had traveled to Mexico. It got it in Mexico and then came back.
So did the dog get euthanized and all these animals get euthanized? Like, what happens?
I don't know the answer to that, to be honest. I do know
it's not like it's like Coggins. I mean, don't you think we pluck the worm off and squish it?
Well, that's part of the way you do treat this. I have a lot more about that coming up. But Governor Greg Abbott of Texas has issued a disaster declaration for the state for all counties. I didn't know there were 254 counties in Texas. That's a lot. So just a few days ago, you sent me this. The FDA issued a major emergency use authorization allowing pet owners and veterinarians to use a particular drug for screwworms. It is called generic. It's generic nitenpiram. They're tablets, and they go by the name of Capster, which is a flea treatment. It's an oral flea treatment. And apparently what these do is if an infested dog or cat takes it, the drug enters the bloodstream. And when the screwworm larvae feed on the living flesh, the drug hits their nervous system and kills them. So it is a treatment, not a vaccine. So that's good, right? I mean, at least that they have it. I don't know if they used it for this dog. But that is a good thing anyway. And it was utilizing a drug that was already out there.
Can I just stop you here? Because I'm reading back what you've written down here about this. And is anybody else disturbed that you just said, when the maggots feed on the living flesh, the drug kills them?
Yes.
Like,
at least it's not eating any further.
Can we get like a nitenpiram dip or something where you like pour it on them and it keeps them away?
No, not yet.
Frontline, you know?
But you do have to administer a second dose. And this apparently is very important. You have to administer a second dose of this exactly 6 hours after the first, because I guess of the life cycle. I don't know. But anyway, and you can give it to animals that are at least 4 weeks old and weigh at least 2 pounds. So that's the That's the dog one. Now,
so they can get it tomorrow if you kill them today. Like, it doesn't kill them forever.
Correct. And they do say that NexGard, or one called Credilio, is a longer-term protection, and it. But you have to take that kind of as a monthly preventative for a longer-term defense then going forward, because the other one is truly just kill the ones that are there now. I wouldn't advise. We're not in a place where you have to go out and do that yet. Okay.
No. So. NexGard sounds like some sort of ulcer treatment for horses.
Yes, it does actually. All right, let's get to
horses. Sure, have that in the barn.
Let's get to horses. Let's get to the good news. Good news is there's no horses yet in the United States that have been detected with this. So that's the good news. The FDA issued an emergency use authorization. I cannot say those words. For Dectamax. Which is an injection for horses at least 1 year old, which acts as a powerful internal shield against the larvae. Proof of a Dectamax or ivermectin treatment on a health certificate is expected to be kind of what they're calling the gold ticket required by states and show managers for travel this summer. So if it starts spreading to horses, then this Dectamax might be something that you have to get to travel. Not yet, but, you know, it could be something that you have to use. They also fast-tracked a what's called F10 antiseptic wound spray and ointment. And what that does, unlike regular fly sprays that sweat off, this F10 product heals the horse's raw skin so you can actually spray it on a cut. That's what it's made for, and it kills any screwworm eggs instantly upon contact. So we do have a spray for horses that you could use on a wound that's safe, and it will kill any larvae right there. They also have a dry puff-on wound dressing designed to dry out weeping cuts and kill any maggots immediately on contact. That has also been approved a long time ago. That's called Negassant powder. Mm-hmm. Which apparently is out there now. Yeah, I never heard of that.
It reminds me of that puff on stuff. What was that blue stuff you'd puff into the horse's wound that was like, oh, awful.
Yes. Yes. So anyway, there is hope here that we have some things that can get rid of the screwworms for horses if it becomes necessary. And it sounds like the FDA has just been fast-tracking this stuff because I think they're concerned. So
you get a patent. You get a patent. Yes. You get a patent.
So in any case, there was some good news in there today. I think that with these things that we're going to see this, that they'll be able to contain it is what I think.
It is interesting to see like equine related to me, it's like equine related issues on the main like news, you know, on the news channels. But I mean, technically it's for cows. People are freaking out about beef, but still, I think it's interesting.
Yeah,
I mean, it's a big deal. I'm glad everybody knows, you know, they're letting everybody know.
Yep. It's been on all the mainstream news here, too, for sure. And we did have one case in Florida, but remember, they caught it in quarantine and apparently we're able to treat it and it's back home. They shipped it back. So never did get into Florida, but they did treat it and the horse is fine. All right. Let's do some daily whinnies.
From the podcast to the barn, here's some hidden birthday wishes to keep you warm.
I have one birthday of an auditor today, Misty W. Happy birthday to Misty.
Well, I have to highlight people celebrating the cause of marching towards death, okay? And that happens when we buy horses on pretty much bad decisions. First, we'll go with Heather. This is not a bad decision. She has new addition to the household. She says it's a yearling Arabian app. Maybe it is a bad decision. Yearling Arabian Appaloosa filly. And so congratulations. She's going to make her future endurance.
So cute. Oh, that horse is adorable looking. Got a million
Arab
spots.
Babies. They look, and Arab babies look like Disney horses. Like, they're so cute.
And then add 1,000 spots.
And then add the spots. Oh my God, adorable. And now the super gold star thumbs up, big hug goes to, and I gotta say this because like there's a what happened and then there's the way that she handled it. which made other people change their minds on things.
Just
okay,
say
so
that this reminded me so much of you. I thought it was you posting as.
Oh my god!
Else.
I like totally love it so much. I love it so much. Okay, Meta, you did it, girl. Okay, let me tell you what Meta did. She went to the local farm auction, I guess, and they took some cockerels to the auction. And so those are chickens. Okay. And in our chicken auction, the reason I can go is because there's not horses in the auction. Well, apparently there are some horses in her chicken auction. And this sad, underweight mare came out and the bidding. She started bidding and she was begging her husband, please bid, please bid, please bid. And he's like, no, you cannot have this horse. No, I'm putting my foot down. And she's like, but I want the please bid, please bid. And he's like, that's it, enough. I'm being dramatic for fun.
Her poor husband's horse probably leaves. The nicest guy in the world.
Well, obviously not. But he redeemed himself because after the horse left and they didn't bid on it, Meta starts crying. I mean, she starts crying. I'm assuming she said she left in tears, but like to me, I would be snot crying because I'm like, oh my god, it's going to Mexico or Canada now. I don't know what to do. It's the worst thing because it's the horse. So apparently, she was dramatic enough that her husband went and bought the damn horse for her. And brings it out, and she owns the $300 horse of the chicken auction. Oh, I'm so happy.
There are a few times in our married lives that we have to analyze the situation, go, which is going to be worse?
Good Lord. Spend the damn money because mama is going to cry for days and never let you forget it, too. Remember that one time you were a heartless bee and you wouldn't let me buy that one horse who's probably dead now because of you? Yeah, see, that like we could make years out of that. Years. So as a husband, you're like, you catch it in the past. Is that what you know what's going to happen?
Well, and you do think that you can get away with it at first when you say no, and that, you know, she was only half really interested in it. And then, you know, then the time comes where she breaks down to the tears, and then you do an analyzation and decide it wasn't worth it. It's not worth it.
Cost
versus heartache. I
don't
know how the horse husband got it back. You would assume it's sold, but we're going to have to get her on and find out the details because
I'm dying because in my head, I'm like, he could have got it for 300, but then he had to go buy it off the truck for five. See, save money, do what Meta says, buy the damn horse. Anyway, congratulations to both of our wonderful friends who got new horses, Meta and Heather. Well, and your husband, he's okay too.
We were out and about. We went to Ocala over the weekend. I texted you on the way back, which we never text on the weekend, but I had to do it. So we're going by the World Equestrian Center on our way home. And there are hundreds of cars backed up to the entrance of the World Equestrian Center. And we looked at each other and went, what horse show gets this many people? Well, I looked it up. Guess what it wasn't, Jamie? That got that many people.
It wasn't a dressage show with all those people?
Nope, wasn't a dressage show, wasn't a barrel race, wasn't jumping. No, it was not. And keep in mind, it was 1,000 degrees that day. So we looked it up, and it was the annual Ocala Bigfoot Convention. There were hundreds of cars lined up. There were police directing traffic. I looked it up today. Like 10,000 people showed up for the Bigfoot Convention at the World Equestrian Center.
I wonder if like the people at WEC were like, all right, Bigfoot Convention, cool. You're going to have like the little room. Cause I mean,
well,
obviously nobody's going to come.
Last year, apparently, for the first Bigfoot Convention they have a lot of conventions.
Oh, so this is an annual convention.
This was the second one. And what happened last year was they had it they have these big convention halls and they had it there at the convention hall, but they didn't know it was going to attract thousands and thousands of people. And apparently it caused a nightmare. So this year they had to police their directing traffic. They were ready for this convention to show up.
Can you
imagine the people watching for this one?
Yeah, I'm going to back that up a little bit. Okay. So you and I are talking and I'm like, oh, what are you doing this weekend? And you're like, head to Ocala. Oh, really? Here, let's have this conversation. You and me, we're going to act it out.
All right.
Okay. Oh yeah. I got a bunch of stuff to do this weekend. What are you getting into?
Well, I'm just going to go to Ocala.
Ocala, oh, are you doing some cool, like, horse stuff? Well, like, what are you doing?
Almost. I'm going to be at the World Equestrian Center.
Oh, what's going on at the World Equestrian Center? Well,
there are horse shows.
Yes, so, yes. Yes. Are you, what horse are you
this
going
is
to?
Me trying to avoid this conversation at all. Well, there's
I mean,
also,
what do you do?
There's also a convention about another animal that I'm going
to, really?
I'm probably going to stop in and check out.
What convention is that?
It's the Bigfoot convention.
The what foot? I'm sorry.
You know, we've seen it so often here in Florida that we're doing a convention here in Florida about Bigfoot.
I'm sorry. There's a Bigfoot convention.
You know what? Don't trash my convention until you go, because I got to tell you, if you want to see people at a convention that is worth just watching the people, it's the Bigfoot convention.
But what do you do when people are like seriously like, yeah, I mean, I'm going to the Bigfoot convention. I go every year. It's annual.
You're telling me you're not a believer?
What do you do when somebody says that? Like, how? That has to be some sort of like furry thing, right? Like, do people dress as Bigfoot? And they
Okay. Our listeners never disappoint us. If you've ever been to a Bigfoot convention, we want you to come.
Is it like a sex thing?
No,
is it like
a
like a furry convention?
You know,
there's people
really believe in Bigfoot. I'm surprised you don't. That they really believe in Bigfoot, and it's I need to find the schedule. Maybe for Wednesday, I'll find the schedule. What the topic sessions were at the Bigfoot convention? That could be fun. Let me see if I can find the schedule.
I could say so many naughty things right now.
I didn't know we had big feet. Is it big feet when it's big foot?
I will tell you that I will never tell somebody that Bigfoot does not exist.
No.
And Nessie and all of that. Like, I'm not going to tell you because I don't know. And I'll look stupid if I'm like, that's dumb. And then here comes
then
Bigfoot walking into the room.
Outside your window.
There are sightings every year, and apparently Broken Bow, Oklahoma, where we took a weekend trip, is a huge Bigfoot place. And
yeah.
Yes. Yes. I was shocked. There's like Bigfoot stores and stuff.
Oh,
so cool.
You know what else happened in Oklahoma over the weekend? It wasn't a Bigfoot sighting.
What?
The state police got to work.
And
actually, it was the Oklahoma Bureau of Narcotics. They intercepted a horse trailer transporting six horses. But I don't know if you remember years ago, I told you about some horses that were delivered to our farm in Pennsylvania. And this was hired, the hauler was hired by the border, and they were driven from North Carolina up. Well, on the way back, and that trailer, by the way, got pulled over. We have one cop in the little town of Newville, Pennsylvania, and he pulled that trailer over for all kinds of violations. As a matter of fact, the truck and trailer pull in with the horse into our driveway, and the police are right behind him. And he said, this trailer's not registered right. There's just all kinds of problems. I said, we didn't hire it. It was hired by somebody else. Not our problem. Can we get the horse? So we took the horse. And apparently this lady got fined all kinds of things. On the way home in North Carolina, got pulled over again, and they found a load of drugs in the trailer.
Oh, wow.
So you're back
you
to
mean
Oklahoma.
You were trafficking horses?
Apparently the drugs were in the trailer, or she picked them up on the way back. I don't know. Or they could have been there when the cop pulled her over the first time.
I really, just a heads up, like, word for criminals. If you're listening right now, make sure a couple things when you get pulled over. Because one of my favorite things to do, you know, is I used to love reading tweets from police stations. Please, now I love watching body cam videos. I'm like obsessed.
Me too.
So let me tell you something. If you are currently in the midst and like undergoing bad decision making, if you are currently making bad decisions, if you get pulled over, have your license, yes, registration, be polite, don't be rude. Apologize. I'm so sorry. Have all that done ahead of time, you idiot, because you're going to, when you don't have anything, they're going to start sniffing around. But obviously they knew what was in this trailer.
And what was in the trailer was 350 pounds of cocaine underneath the feet of the horses in compartments, $4.8 million worth. And what's interesting about this is Stolen Horse International, our friends over there, have been saying this. They've been coming out and saying there's all kinds of transportation of drugs being done in horse trailers from Mexico. It's being done all the time. The police agencies need to get on this. And they've been saying this forever. And unfortunately, what happens is, and happened in this case, is the horses have been in the trailer for way too long. They don't abide by any, they don't care about the horses, right?
They're mules, drug mules.
Yeah, literally. So the horses ended up at a rescue in Oklahoma, and they were apparently in pretty bad shape and, you know, were thirsty and hadn't been fed in a while and probably been in the truck for 5 days. So that's the problem here. And they're just viewing it as a good way to traffic drugs in horse trailers. Now, I imagine now Border Patrol is going to be checking out every horse trailer that comes across. But yeah, so this was right down the street from you. Aren't you proud? It's not Florida. That's all I got.
You know, they probably aren't going to be passing any horses because of the screw room thing for a while. So the horses will get a bit of a break. That just sucks. Yeah. I mean, it was on the local news here and it was just like, oh, it just sucks. It just sucks. But all the horses are supposed to survive. So that's good.
I give credit to Stolen Horse for talking about this like a year ago. They've been pushing this topic and they were right. Well, let's talk a little bit about worm flooring and then we're going to get to our guest and talk about skunks in the house.
Okay, well, we're officially in the peak of summer riding season, which means your trailer is working overtime. But with hot weather and frequent trips, those old rubber mats, well, first of all, they're the worst, but they're doing nothing but trapping heat, moisture, and waste against your subfloor, creating the perfect recipe for hidden aluminum rot. Worm flooring fixes that for good. Worm's permanent poured-in-place system bonds directly to your trailer floor, creating a seamless, non-porous barrier that seals out moisture completely. With Worm, there are no mats to pull out or scrub. You just hose it out. In 2 minutes, you're done. Plus, the cushion slip-resistant surface gives your horse is a cooler, much more stable ride during those long hot hauls. I mean, just in my world, like just the fact that they don't slip, it's so nice. My barn aisle, the trailer, it's just good purchase that they get from their feet. Plus, protect your trailer's resale value with your peace of mind this summer. Visit Worm Flooring, WERMflooring.com to see why the pros have thrown away their rubber mats for good.
Well, Jamie, do you remember a week or two ago, the conversation came up about living with strange animals in the house?
And you were all hell bent to find people that have weird animals in the house.
Oh, did we find people that have weird animals in the house? So much so that it's going to be a whole series this summer about weird animals in the house. So I thought, what would be a good one to start with? And then Auditor Amanda came along. I thought we'd start with a pig. We talked about pigs and monkeys. Remember those were the two we talked about? Well, yes. Jamie, how about her growing up as a kid with skunks in the house?
Oh, yeah.
Amanda, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, no problem.
Where'd you grow up? What state?
So, Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania, okay. And This was your grandparents' place?
Yes.
Okay, so they had two skunks. What were their names?
So the first one was Egbert. I don't know how he got that name or who even named him.
Okay. Because he's a skunk, that makes sense. The tracks go
ahead. And the second one that they got after Egbert had passed was Sylvester J. Skunk.
I like that name.
Even
sounds
better.
Like one of the crazy cat names that people have. So tell me, why did they have skunks in the house?
That I don't know. Like, my grandparents have always kind of had like a weird eclectic group of animals. They currently have a goat that doesn't know he's a goat. He thinks he's a dog. They had an owl, a squirrel, and then she found a skunk and she was just like, I'm going to raise it. And she did.
And one was de-skunked and the other was not, right?
Yes. So Egbert was a wild skunk. So you might be familiar with Ackland, Pennsylvania.
Yeah. Yep.
So there was a place called AMCOM up there. They make ordinances for the U.S. military. And she worked there at the time. And there was a litter of skunks that she had found or somebody had found. And so everybody was like, oh, something happened to the mom. We're just going to take them home. So a couple people took, you know, skunks and everything. She was one of them. And she, you know, hand raised it, bottle fed it and everything. And then, yeah.
And she never had it de-scented?
Nope. He never sprayed. I would carry him around like a little baby. I would dress him up in baby doll clothes, cuddle with him on the couch. And he never sprayed. I think because he was so young when she found him and being raised by humans from, you know, the time he was basically born, he was okay with it.
Okay. I have a question. Yeah,
I have a lot of questions.
All right. So like skunks just walking around smell, whether or not they've sprayed, they still have a, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but like,
no, you are
fairly certain they just stink.
They have a musk to them. It's almost like a ferret smell.
That's a light way of saying it.
Yeah. They don't smell as bad as when they've been sprayed. They kind of have like a, almost like a dirty dog or like a ferret smell to it. Like there's some odor there, but that's not like it's, I mean, I'm definitely washing my hands when I'm done playing with them, but it's not like I need to bathe in tomato sauce.
So it's funny because you're right, Jamie, the fox, we have a red fox that goes through on a regular basis. And you always tell in the morning when he's been here, because it kind of has that musky smell, the same smell as Egbert. Now, yeah. You used to dress him up in clothing and everything. Did he like that? Or were you just a child and he was going to put up with it, whether he liked it or not?
I was a child and I did the same thing to my cats and they just kind of put up with it. And I was like, Egbert, you need a dress on. And he just walked around with a dress on and he's cool with it.
What does a skunk eat?
Yeah, good question.
So my grandmother would feed him like lettuce and like basically salads and fruits and veggies and stuff like that. I remember it was like lettuce and cucumbers, tomatoes, and then she would cut up like some watermelon and stuff like that in the summertime for him.
Are they vegetarians?
I think they eat some bugs too, but I know she fed him like salad stuff.
So then she,
interesting.
When the first
I would
one,
have thought they ate cat food.
That's
or something.
That's what I would have thought too. Cat food.
Yeah, she did put out dry cat food for him too. Now again, we're going back 30 years, so.
Come on, keep bear it. With me. It should all be top of mind.
Did your friends ever know that you hung out with skunks, and how'd that go?
Yeah, they thought I was cool, kind of, but weird at the same time. I mean, nothing's really changed in 30-some years. I'm still weird and cool. But they were like, oh, my God, can I see it? So we'd bring them out and, like, play with it and stuff. But I went to school, and the people that weren't familiar with, like, the skunks, they were like, oh, my God, you have a skunk? I'm like, yeah, what? Like, it's...
You don't?
Duh. Yeah, duh. Like,
was it potty trained like a cat?
He was litter box trained, yes.
Yeah. Okay. And was he good at that? I mean, that was
yes. Yep. Good? Now he lived in like an out. He did frequent the house, and then when it was too cold, like he would sleep in the basement and stuff. But like in the summertime, they had like a little outside enclosure. Like he would poop out in the little run-in area, and then like in his little house. He would use the litter box. So he wouldn't, he was kind of pretty clean. I was surprised.
Did he sleep in the bed?
Yeah. Yep. He slept in a bed and we had like straw on top of like a bed and everything. And she would, you know, clean it out and do the straw. Like, I think it was like every other day she would do like fresh straw for him. But
I one of the things I disliked about the cats in the house was them getting up on the countertops and things like that while cooking. And that was, we never allowed our cats on the countertops, although that was a, you know, endless battle.
Not
how about
same.
The skunks? Were they on the countertops?
No, they couldn't jump up that high, okay. At least from what I remember. He was always very on the floor, or I'd put him on like the couch and stuff like that.
And do they have little claws? They have little claws, right?
Yes, they do have little claws.
And
it's not enough. Like, they're not like cat claws. I would frequent them more to like dog claws, but like smaller.
Did they rip things off?
They're diggers.
Yeah. They normally wouldn't like rip your skin open and you would bleed, but you'd have a scratch mark or two.
Said like a true okay. Skunk girl.
I gotta tell you that I was looking through my Facebook memories. You know, it's like my favorite part of Facebook is going through your memories. And the picture today, it's a sign. The picture today is from 6 years ago. And it says, nothing like bathing your dog again at 10 p.m. for getting sprayed by a skunk. How many times will Zenyatta get sprayed before she learned hashtag Arizona had no skunks? This is like we moved to Oklahoma. My dog's like, I am going to be friends with all those little black and white things that look just like me.
And here's one in the house that never sprayed.
Yeah,
and
never
here's
sprayed.
One that was, here, kitty, kitty, kitty.
I will say, I do remember Sylvester, who was descented, was smellier than Egbert that wasn't descented.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So I think he got a little bit more muskier when the scent glands got taken out.
Did they have weird little habits or things they did that were unique to skunks in the house, or were they like cats or dogs?
I feel like they were just like cats. Like, I can't think of anything that really sticks out. Like, I'd feed him potato chips and he'd play in a sandbox with me. but they didn't really do anything like crazy.
Oh, isn't that funny? That's so weird.
It's almost like, I would say, like, it's a cross between a ferret and a cat. Like, they did play with stuff and you did have to watch, make sure he doesn't chew on cords. But, yeah, I mean, he was fairly chill pet.
And he didn't destroy things like the carpets or the furniture? Or...
No. I mean, if I let toys lie out, like one of my little horse toys, he chewed the legs on. So you kind of had to pick up after yourself. But he didn't, like, I didn't have, like, the destroyed couches or anything like that.
Well, and let's be honest about the little horse toys. You broke more legs off than he destroyed, so there was
I did. He didn't chew my Palomino, so that's why I was like, okay with that one. Like, that was my favorite one.
All right, so would you drive by a skunk smell today? Is it bring back memories, or are you still...
No, because they're usually dead on the road, and I'm like, oh, too much. Now, if I do, like, a round of ferret or something, I'm like, hey, that's what the skunk smelled like.
All right, let's talk about the goat. Let's go to modern day. So Grandma's still around and has the goat in the house, and again, why?
So he came from the barn that I used to board at. He was raised with barn cats and dogs, and he was the only goat out there. So my grandparents were talking about their friend wanted a goat. So I was like, hey, does Bill want a goat? And they're like asking me questions about it. And my grandfather's like, all right, I'll come over and get it. And I'm like, okay. And then I went over to their house and I'm like, hey, the goat's still here. My grandfather's like, yeah, I wanted to keep it. So he frequents inside the house. He lives on the porch. He's got like a little bench he sleeps on and a heated dog house. They have two other goats out back that know they're goats and act like they're goats, and he free runs the property.
I got pictures. We're going to post pictures of the goat sleeping on the chair in the house, and also you as a kid holding the skunk. Which skunk was that, by the way?
That one, I believe, was the one with me in the dress, yes. I believe, was Egbert. Okay, and that's... the one with me in the red sweater. No, I think I got them confused. The one with me in the red sweater was Egbert. The one with me in the dress is Sylvester.
Okay, so I'm going to put the one with you in the dress. That's very cute. But I did the same question for the goat. Is it house trained?
No. No, he's a lot more unruly than the... I would take a skunk over this goat any day. He is a jerk.
Is that his name?
No, his name is Cody. Okay. Cody, but he wears a leash or like a little collar on all the time. He'll lay in front of the door, so you cannot get in the house. And he will not move to let you out of the house either. So you kind of have to just go around Cody. He's right there and existing. And then he will chew on everything and anything.
Okay, has this Jamie convinced you to either have a goat or a skunk in the house?
I'm not sold quite yet. I've got some follow-up questions we'll ask off the air.
I will say I recommend the skunks over the goat. So there's that.
There you go. All right. Well, that's good. It's not unheard of. I have heard of other people having skunks as pets. You're probably the first one I ever heard of, though, that they weren't de-skunked, you know?
De-skunked. Yeah, I definitely recommend at least, you know, to err on the side of caution and have them de-scented. But, I guess they don't care.
Can you imagine if they actually sprayed in the house? Well, I mean, you'd never get that out. How much tomato juice do you need for that?
They were living dangerously here, Grandma.
Well, my grandfather would like put it in his pocket and like just go around like and just do all the house, or not the housework, but the yard work and everything like that. Because he was small enough to fit in like a shirt pocket when they first got him.
God, they were made different back then. People were made different back then. They probably we're talking
about
the
early 90s.
They had an outhouse and, you know, they had to hike 2 miles for water.
Yeah, we were very close.
Amanda, thanks for joining us. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem.
That's right. It is time for Today in Equine History. And for the first story, we're going back to June 16th of 1860. That's when the U.S. Congress authorized a bill to build a transcontinental telegraph line. Well, why is this a story about horses? Because guess what the Transcontinental Telegraph Line did? It put the Pony Express out of business. Now, the Pony Express had only started a little while before that. It only ran for a total of 18 months. So, yes, the telegraph.
But even though we have phones, we still mail things. So yeah. Why couldn't they live together happily?
No, apparently it was too expensive and too hard for the Pony Express. We went with the telegraph instead. Well, on June 15th of 1920, the legendary Man of War lined up for the Dwyer Stakes at Aqueduct Racetrack. This was a match race. A massive crowd of 25,000 fans showed up to watch him in a match race with his great rival, John P. Greer.
Greer.
So John P. Greer pushed a Big Red mercilessly, but Man of War pulled away to win by 1.5 lengths. In doing so, he stopped the clock at 1:49 and 1/5 for the 9 furlongs, setting a brand new world record. I think he set world records, didn't he, Man of War?
Yeah.
Yeah. He set a bunch of world records. So anyway, that happened. And then also on the same day in the same year, on June 15th in 1920, it was the birth of the Royal Canadian Mounted Police musical ride. While the Mounted Police had performed drills earlier, it marked a transition point in that they were officially recognized into the Royal Mounted Canadian Police as a musical ride. So this was the official designation that is going to happen. It's going to be an official part of what we do.
Is this like a musical freestyle? I don't even understand
never
what
seen
this
it?
Is.
The Royal... Oh. You've never seen this?
Are you shaming me for
yes,
not having seen
this?
Yes,
I am. God, I've seen this 10 times. It's the best musical ride ever in the history of rides. This is so good with their horses.
You need to YouTube
that and watch it tonight, okay?
Okay, what's it called? The Royal Canadian Mounted Police musical ride.
Oh, God, the horses are amazing. You just need to see this. I can't believe you never... I am shaming you. You are shamed for that.
But I know I could have told you what race that was on June 5th, 1920 that Big Red ran in. So we all have our magic.
They have 32 riders. The horses are all look exactly alike because they're all bred to look exactly alike. Here's some stats for them. Okay. So the first musical ride took place actually in 1887, and they did it in the barracks in Saskatchewan.
Saskatchewan.
Thank you. And they didn't do it for the public. They did it because they were bored to death and it was cold. So they started doing this musical ride with all the horses because they were just bored. They had no audience at all. So that's how it started. So every single rider is a regular police officer. They're a regular Mountie. They've had to have 2 years of police street experience. They've had to work for 2 years in the streets. When they apply for the ride, a majority of them have never ridden a horse in their lives. They undergo a high-intensity six-month crash course. And when you see this ride, with 32 riders in there, you would get... I mean, when we've seen it a couple times, and what they do is they make sure that the arena is smooth could be. They drag it to death. And when you see the ride, you see one line of tracks. And it's like none of them ever step outside that line of tracks. It's incredible.
Wow.
It is really good. If you ever
get
to see them in person.
There's not one horse in the back freaking out in the royal stuff?
This is unbelievable level. What they did was they needed saddles to do this because they sit very upright. Very military-like and very upright. Well, they didn't have a Western or English saddle that would do that. They went to Steuben, and Steuben built them custom saddles that sit them more upright, and it has an elongated flap. So they all use custom saddles. They run their own Hanoverian breeding farm in Ontario, and they do 20 to 30 foals a year. And to name them, I love this, to name them every year, they run a Name the Foal contest for Canadian school kids. And every foal in a given year must have a name starting with the exact same letter. So every year they start with the same letter, and that's kind of how they can tell what years the horses are. So there
that's
you
smart.
Go. And they only can serve for 3 years in the Mounties. I don't care if you want to make a life out of it, and they kick you out, and they start with a new batch. But
the horses stay.
The horses stay. The Mounties go.
Okay.
Yep, they can only do 3 years. We actually did an interview on Horses in the Morning, and I... You know, I would have been surprised that you hadn't remembered this, but it was from 2012, and you weren't on this.
Oh,
Helena
okay.
was filling in for you. But the sound was good because we recorded it not live. So I'm going to put a link to it in the show notes. And it was a lady who was the training officer at the time in 2012, and she talked all about how it all works for the Mounties. But anyway, I'm going to put a link to that in the show notes if you want to go back and take a listen. So there you go. That's all about the Mounties. Now, that's your assignment. You go watch
okay,
that tonight.
I wrote it
okay?
down.
All right.
I wrote it down.
I'm telling you, it's incredible. If you ever get to see him in person, any of you out there, go see him. It's worth it. Let's talk about something I posted this morning on the Facebook page. I asked the auditors, what are the stupid, silly things that your horses have done lately? Did we get any?
We have a few things. Yeah. It turns out horses do dumb stuff. I mean...
All the time.
Some of it's our fault, some of it's not. So I figured we'd go through just a couple of these because we got a lot of submissions. So we're going to start with one here that comes from Justine. Justine, I feel your pain, but my... so here's what she posts. And she included photos, which was unnecessary.
Regretfully, yes.
Yeah. It says, mine does this every day. Poops in the automatic water, and she included a photo of the poop soup. Okay, I call it poop soup. I can at least
what
take mine off. These look
it?
Like these look like the waters that you have to like scoop it out. You know, like this.
Yeah.
These
they
are like
the
bowl waters.
Ones. They don't look like the tilty ones. No.
So basically, you clean poop soup. That's terrible. I'm sorry that happens.
Okay, Monty
but...
Roberts, certified instructor. Why? And several other people commented under that our horses do the same thing: either poop in the feed tub or poop in the water bucket in their stalls. Why? So what's the psychology behind that?
I don't know, but the way that I fix it, not that I fix it, but encourage them, is you take the poop and you just throw it in another corner, in the opposite corner. So like Amigo, when he poops in the, when you're looking at the stall, the back right corner. So I have to be very careful to put him in stalls that don't have the water in the back yeah. right corner, because half do and half them in the left. But if I put him in a stall with the water on the back right corner, he will poop in that water. So I have to be super careful. So maybe this is just something that your horse, you know, like Butters is so weird. He actually backs up against the wall to poop, which is not awesome for a Palomino.
So
like,
he has
gross.
Diaper butt all the time.
Yes. I'm like, don't do that. And then Miles would back up and poop over the stall door.
Into
and
the
so
aisle?
I'd always have poop like in the barn aisle. So
okay, that's the first. Never heard of that one.
If I had information, I would have used it.
You but know, you think that they eat out of the feed tub, that they would correlate the two. I don't want to poop there yeah. because that's where I eat out of, but no.
And then you throw the hay, like, you know, I drop it in, and there's a couple of them that'll just poop on the hay.
Yeah.
I'm like, what? Why?
And
would
then
you
they complain
that?
They're
like,
hungry.
Yeah, yeah, I'm yeah. starving to death. How can I eat this tainted hay? It's disgusting. I can't believe you would give me hay that looks like this. I didn't.
I get it.
So, oh, you know what? I will be with Monty in like 2 weeks. So, yeah. I'll write that on my
ask
list
him
of
if
things
he's figured
to
figured that
ask.
One out.
Why do horses poop in their water? I don't think it's their water. I think they just like that corner. So maybe move your horse around or poop in the other corner, because it kind of tends to train them to poop in that corner. I don't know why. I have no answers, only questions. Well, this next one comes from Katie. And this is you remember I did last Wednesday, the segment called New Fear Unlocked.
Yes.
This is my new fear unlocked. But again, it happens to people, and it happened to Katie. And she says, this past winter, my niece's pony got stuck inside the round bill feeder twice.
I often wondered about that, because some have big holes.
Yeah, or they're like short, you know, because they're like made for cows, right?
Yeah.
So, and certainly you've seen the videos of the cows walking around dragging the thing, you know, because yeah. they're stuck in it. She said, my niece pony got stuck in the round bell feeder inside it twice. And he's so round that he can't get out of it the way he got in it. So they have to walk up to him and like have four people around and like whipped it up out of there so he can go out underneath it.
Duh. We had a cow once. We had cows. I hated those cows. Chuck and Roast. So there was a little shed in their field. And the one morning we came out and there was a window frame around the cow's neck. He had stuck his face through the glass into the shed. When he went to back up, he took the whole window and window frame with him, and he was walking around with the window frame on him, which meant we had to try and catch the cow to take the window frame off. And guess what? Not one cut on that damn cow. Not one.
I was going to say, like, did he break the window?
He broke the window, but when he went to get out, he took the whole window frame right out. It just busted it right out of the whole thing.
Sometimes they just like the horse getting in the feeder. My farrier was here this morning, and he was telling me about he was trimming this donkey last week, and he's trimming the donkey, and all of a sudden it's in like cross size next to the barn. All of a sudden the donkey kicks through the barn metal on the barn, just bam, punches a hole and pulls his foot back out. I guess he had thrush or something, and he hit the thrush and the horse, like the donkey kicked through the metal, pulled his foot back through. Nothing. Scratch.
It's a donkey.
Nothing. It's a donkey.
My horse would have done crazy. That. It would be a $10,000 vet bill.
Exactly. My horse has no foot. Like, it's just not. Christy, this one is interesting because I want to know where you live. I mean, I don't know because I don't know where these things live. Her horses both recently got quilled by porcupine.
Oh, she posted a picture of that on her Facebook page, and it was right in the nose. Right in the nose. And
that's where they get them, because
there were like 30 of them poking in there. Ooh.
I wonder if there's like, and Christy, maybe you can answer this. I wonder if there's like, you know, lasting effects of that. Like the horses, the reason they get poked in the nose, because they see it and they're curious and they want to sniff it. And then, ouch, don't ever be curious again. You know, like, is it something that messes with their brain for a long time? Like, I'm scared of everything now because everything hurts. I don't know. Maybe I just deal with traumatic horses.
Tara, have you ever seen one in person?
Just at a zoo. That's why I was asking, where does she live?
I have never seen one in person either yet. Apparently they are in Alaska, because one of the people on the Horse Lovers cruise actually saw a porcupine when they were out and about. So they're around, I guess.
Where do porcupines live? Where do porcupines live? They live across the globe. New World porcupines live all of Canada, Western and Northeastern United States, including the Appalachian and Rocky Mountains and Northern Mexico. So
everywhere.
Is Christy Canadian? They're everywhere. They're everywhere. They like tropical forest and scrub environments. Cool. They like everything. Awesome. Tara sent this one in, and this is a common complaint, and again, Farrier came this morning and Ace's feet look terrible because he's barefoot and he's been stomping at flies. Well, you think you would just put fly gear on him, Jamie? Gosh, just put fly boots on him and I'll stop stomping. I would, except for he rips them off of his legs in like 0.2 seconds. I put it on. And that's what he does. And so Tara was saying that her horse doesn't remove his own fly gear. He removes his neighbor's fly gear. Friends. Yeah.
Scooter was always good at that. No, that's why we have him separated now, because in the summertime, he would take off everything that was on the other horses. He would just, and it would take 5 minutes. It was a game. He just, you put it on, I got 5 minutes to get it off.
Do your thing. Like, take your own off and you can suffer, but don't take your friends. You big jerk. Couple more. Taylor said that she was having her barn siding installed and there was a man in his truck eating his lunch with his windows down. My Arab walked over, stuck her head through his open window, and took a ham sandwich right out of his hands.
You were starving that poor horse.
When we were building this house, our little Jack Russell would come in here and steal all the guys' lunches that were just sitting out. We had to buy lunch for the guys probably 4 or 5 times because that little dude was so sneaky.
You hear about horses that eat sandwiches and stuff. We've never had any. Well, we've never tried to feed any to horses either. But you hear about that all the time, about those strangest things.
Yeah, no, don't let him eat that stuff. Let's see. Allison says, my horse has a perfectly good jolly ball in his pasture. but apparently decided a turtle was more entertaining. I caught him flipping the poor thing over and nudging it around like he was practicing for the World Cup. She did rescue the turtle and he found a new home, not in the pasture.
Yesterday I was mowing and I came upon, remember I told you there's a great big turtle that lives in a little spinny right below James's field.
Isn't this why you couldn't like do the water or something? Because you had turtle, they're protected.
These gopher turtles are protected in Florida. So this thing, I was mowing up and he has a huge hole. I mean, a huge hole. And when they make a huge hole, there's a huge sand mound outside the hole. So when I came by yesterday, you came up to him on the mower. There he was sitting on top of his sand mound. And of course, he saw the mower and turned around and scooted back down in. And I got to tell you, that thing is enormous. It must be 25 inches across. It's got to weigh 100 pounds. It is. It must scream grandpa because it is the biggest turtle I've ever seen.
There's only one thing that you can do now, Glenn, and that's name it.
Yeah,
you got to give it a name.
Yeah, that's a good point. I'll post a picture of it. I think I got a picture of its butt end. It went into its hole, but it only went partway. And I don't know if it gets stuck going in its hole and the hole's not big enough, or he just thought having his head in would protect him. I don't know. But I'll post a picture of the auditor room and we can name the turtle. We'll play it. We'll
okay, let's name the turtle. And then also, if it's a really great picture, you should post it on one of my favorite Facebook pages. Okay, you know, there's a page for everything. My favorite one of them is, it's called Crap Wildlife Photography. And you just post terrible pictures that you took. Like, you're like, oh my God, I'm going to get a picture of this bird. Yeah. And then people take a picture of a hawk and it like poops. At the exact moment you take the picture.
This is the huge turtle's butt sticking out of its hole.
Yeah, perfect. It'll get approved instantly. It's great. Crap Wildlife Photography. All right, I'll try that. You can see a collection of my art on that page if you search.
Well, thank you, everybody, for submitting your horses for ridicule. We appreciate it. Everybody, hang on. Auditors, hang on. We'll talk about something in the post show. And we'll be back here. We have a whole week's worth of shows for you this week. We have Quarter Horse tomorrow. We have Equine Affair later in the week. Jamie and I will be here on Wednesday and Friday as well. Get your weird news in to weirdnews@horseradionetwork.com. And we'll do some of those on Wednesday. And where do they find you? We don't give your plug too often.
Oh, yeah. Well, you just search for me on Facebook, but like I have my own page, but that one's boring. Go to the Flyover Farm Jamie Jennings Certified Monty Roberts Instructor page. Like that's where I posted all the horse stuff. So I get friend requests, but I'm like, y'all just don't friend request me. Just like that page. That page is less boring.
You're heading to Monty's next week, actually. So
I am going to the movement.
And you're going to be working out there this year, helping out with the movement?
Yes, I have the movement and it's 26, 27 and 28. So it'll be a great time. I always love going out there and hanging out. There's
probably
going
to be a listener there. There always is.
I know of a few.
Oh, there you go. Very good. All right, everybody. Talk to you again on Wednesday.
All right. Spay, neuter, gelds.